Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. This is Dr. Jay Calvert, and once again, under the auspicious blue skies of Beverly Hills, I am here, thankfully, with my co-host, Dr. Jason Berkley.
My pleasure. I'm rushing out of here to go atone for my sins after this, as it is almost the start of Yom Kippur. The sun hasn't set quite yet, but it's getting there.
You're going to have a lot of atonement to do.
I don't even know how you're going to.
You're going to need 2 days.
I do it every day.
Can you get two?
I'm still atoning for 2016.
I mean, yeah. I don't even know a day. You need like a week. You need help.
I do.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you are here.
But I'm comforted right now that the Red Wings are in a playoff position 2 games into the season. I'm going to sop this up with a biscuit because, honestly, I don't know if it's going to be there in the next couple weeks.
Listen, 2-0 is 2-0. Good
for
you.
Not just 2-0, but playing good games, coming from behind against a really good team in Dallas, and beating Nashville and Dallas, and Dallas actually is 0-3. Little question marks over there. But, you know, listen, you beat two good teams and play solid games against them. Mantha comes out with 5 goals. He scored 4 goals
contract
against
year.
Dallas. Well, listen. And
contract year.
As I was talking to one of our mutual friends a few weeks ago, I said that Mantha's going to score 60 points this year. And my friend agreed with me. And I think that, you know, listen, if he keeps going, he's going to score, 285 goals this year. I don't think he's going to set to keep his pace up, obviously. But the point is that I think he's just kind of hitting his stride where he was. He left off last year through the Worlds and then onto this right now. So, you know what? Good for him. We have some other, you know, obviously Zibanejad is kind of lighting it up. We're going to be having Dave Maloney coming on.
Dave Maloney
from MSG.
Of the Rangers.
Yep, he's going to be coming on a little bit to talk to us about the Rangers. And
former captain of the Rangers.
Yeah.
Played in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
Probably played against Trottier and the 4 cup winning Islanders more than he'd like to talk about.
Absolutely. That's actually probably a source. We should probably stay away from that.
For sure.
But you know, listen, you know, Zibanejad's, you know, been lighting it up. He had a great game against his old team. Good for him. You know, obviously, you know, that Babcock was a healthy scratch with Spezza when they played Ottawa, which I thought was not a nice thing to do.
No.
You know, let the guy have a bit of revenge if possible, or just at least a little bit of satisfaction.
I don't want to rain on your parade about the Red Wings being 2-0, but I will also add that the Anaheim Ducks are also 2-0.
Yeah, they're playing each other tonight, actually.
I know they are.
It's a battle.
Somebody's not going to be 2-0 after tonight.
Someone's out of playoff position tonight.
That's it.
Or they're
like,
wild card.
They should fold up and go home. Why play the
rest
of the game?
Right now, our magic number is like 64, I think it is. It's something like that, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who's going to win that game. But
Edmonton's 2-0?
Edmonton is
2-0. We're in the upside down. This is Stranger Things.
It is because, you know, look, something had to give with these teams, right? We were talking about it. We were on the red carpet with Connor McDavid.
Yes.
And said, is this the year? And he said, you sure hope it is. He's going to make everything happen. This is going to be a big year for Connor McDavid.
Well, and he also said it, don't forget, with his pants being held up with a skate lace.
That's true.
Which we didn't discuss with him.
We didn't even talk about that.
I wasn't sure what to make of it, so I just kind of like, don't bring it up. And then I was like, okay, don't stare at his crotch. Because I didn't want it to seem like I was staring down there. So I'm trying to figure out if it's a skate lace or what the deal was.
I know, but
I'm like, don't look. You know, like in the bathroom, don't look.
I'm not going to look.
Don't look. Okay, I looked.
I just looked. Oh, my God.
You know,
I know. But McDavid is doing well.
Yeah, good for him.
I think, you know, look, it's early. It's fun. Whatever. I get it. Yeah, but
I'll take it. Listen, I'm going to
take it. You should
take
it. You should enjoy it. You should revel
in it. But I will say this. There is, and I've been hearing this from different pundits. I've been hearing this from other people that there is a different attitude in Detroit. There are higher expectations when you have Steve Yzerman running the ship.
Of course.
You are
huge.
Expected to give everything. You're expected to win. There's a little difference. Not a knock on Ken Holland, but it's Steve Yzerman. And so anytime you go to a team like Colorado with Joe Sakic, who is the same type of player, same type of expectations, a cup winner, okay, you're going to have to deliver. because you know if you don't deliver, you're out. And I think that that message has come through with Colorado, and they're obviously playing very well, and even last year and into this year now. And I think that hopefully that same type of thing is going to bleed into Detroit with Yzerman there.
Joe Sakic is Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's synonymous really with the team.
He
absolutely
is the team.
Yeah.
And that, I'm telling you, I think this is the year of Nathan MacKinnon. So let's see what happens there. But I'm eagerly.
Oh, and San Jose's 0-3.
Shahab, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Shahab is our San Jose Sharks.
They just re-signed Patrick Marleau.
Well, then they got worse today.
I don't think they got worse. I think it's unfair to say. I think that was a kind of a lateral move and probably a PR thing.
Why would they do that?
Probably because the people up there.
Patrick Marleau is an amazing player.
Because I'll tell you why. The people in San Jose are like, they're 0-3. We're done for the season. We're out. We're not watching anymore. They bring Marleau back to get a little excitement going on. And they probably want him to retire as a Shark.
Well, that's fine. I get that. But,
that's the issue.
I don't think I would be counting on him for a whole lot this year. I mean, he did okay last year, but like it's one more year on a different kind of performance curve.
And what
it
tells me also is they may be hurting in their farm team that they don't have anybody that's worth bringing up at all. Because if you sign a guy like that that's 40 years old, 41, and in this league, it's a league of youth. It's a league of guys that are 22, 23, 24 years old. I'm sorry. That's just not, unless you really think he's going to add that much to your team.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that the other
night.
That
a guy that's 23 coming up in the farm system can't, I don't understand it.
Well, I went and saw the Sharks play the other night on Saturday night at the Honda Center, and they look like they just haven't quite pulled the things together just yet, even though it's most of the same guys. What I really noticed is that they are missing Joe Pavelski in a big way.
Well, it's not just what he does on the ice. It's what he does off the ice.
That's right. And so you've got...
Well, the Stars are 0-3-2, so I guess it's...
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the Sharks have great talent. I have tremendous optimism for Timo Meier, Tomáš Hertl, Logan Couture.
I like that Tomáš. Very good on your accent.
Thank you. Yeah. And you should. I work to enunciate that properly. I hope I did that justice.
You did.
I think Papa Joe Thornton.
You did a spectacular job.
Thank you. I did a spectacular job.
Taste the soup.
That's right.
Taste the soup.
Aha. Listen, Papa Joe Thornton was like all over the ice, dude.
Well,
he's a wrecking ball. He was like
he just flat out doesn't care anymore at this point.
He doesn't. He's just at the like I am going to tear somebody's head
off.
He's
now make it become happen. One of the Hanson brothers.
He is. He is a badass
with the beard.
I was totally impressed with him. But the Ducks came out with a new coach, Dallas Eakins, who had tremendous success coaching the Gulls, the San Diego Gulls, on the AHL level. And this is a guy who really he's got them on the speed game. He had all the Swedes moving in Ducks territory. I mean, Hampus Lindholm was playing with a purpose.
Carolina's picked up where they left off.
Yeah, well,
you know,
yeah.
I mean,
they're tough.
Pummeling the Panthers right now. So, I mean, they're just picking right up and they're moving right on.
Well, and Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Again, a guy who is...
Sebastian Aho.
Well, I'm saying Brind'Amour, a guy as a coach who expects that you're going to win and give your best every single night.
Absolutely.
You can't let up with a guy like that.
No.
I mean, his reputation precedes him. He's a you know, champ, won the cup. I mean, he deserves your best as a player.
Did he ever play on the Red Wings?
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just wondering.
No, I'm just saying that.
You spoke well of him, so I figured at some point he must have done something for the Red
Wings. I will be able to very easily acknowledge a player who is very good regardless of the team, except for if they're a Penguin or if they're a Blackhawk.
Well, the Penguins are in trouble. They have some issues.
I think Guentzel just got hit with a puck or something in the face or something like that.
Oh no, they need that guy. Malkin's out for a long time, and Bukestad is out. He's a really good player. So they're in trouble. But what else is new? Injuries for that team is nothing new. And my wife Chris went and saw Phil Kessel playing in his new uniform with the Coyotes, and her comment was, "Phil Kessel is a high quality real NHL player." And she said he does things on the ice that are...
I don't think anybody ever doubted that. He doesn't look like an NHL player.
Yeah, but he is.
But what he does on the ice is...
He's amazing.
Absolutely, 100%.
He's a great player. So, you know, maybe the Coyotes will do something. The Ducks beat them also, which is crazy. We'll see what happens. It's early on. We've got to watch carefully. We'll see what happens over the next week, because I think things will start to flow pretty well. And, you know, we'll follow it as we go. In the meantime, we do have a great interview coming up here with Dave Maloney from the New York Rangers. A lot going on with the Rangers. They are also kicking some ass,
yeah,
doing well. So let's why don't we saucer one over to New York City to Dave Maloney.
My puck, baby! Don't you ever touch my puck!
Hello, Dave.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Hey, this is Dr. Jay Calvert and Dr. Jason Berkley of the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
Wow, I feel like I'm going for a physical or something.
It's going to get dicey pretty soon. Don't worry. You've never had a physical like this. We're doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing very well. Thanks for calling.
You bet. We're excited to hear about the Rangers, because it looks like they're having some success with all the incredible moves they made in the offseason.
Yeah. I mean, it's early, but it'd certainly be better being 2-0 than 0-2 or whatever. And it's been fun. It's been fun. It's been exciting. There's a lot of hockey left, but there's a lot of excitement around here. Sure.
Well, don't worry, because Jason Berkley, who's a Red Wings fan, was already texting me saying the Wings are 2-0. It's a big year, so we get it.
I'm already planning. We're going 82-0. I know it. I can feel it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's an awful lot of hockey left for a lot of teams.
Well, the important thing is, the thing is, I always have said this, and I know it's a cliche, but, you know, points in October count just as much as they do in April. You know, and in April, you see some of these teams, you know, everyone's scrambling, suddenly the intensity ramped up. I'm sorry, this is just a 2 points today is the same as 2 points on, you know, March 31st or April 1st.
Yeah, well, that certainly is. But I think, you know what happens, you don't want to get the teams that nobody thinks are going to be any good at the start, right? Everybody starts in that age of innocence, and you go out and play, and the veteran teams, you know, they seem to hit their stride a little bit. But there's no question. The points, as they say, points don't go bad. So you put them in the shelf, and certainly given the alternative, you get points when you can get them. But I often think that it's better to get the top teams early, because when the calendar turns into the new year, the top teams usually seem to find to be a little ways to be a little more consistent.
Well, it looks like the summer just put up some amazing, I mean, just these moves were just killer. I'm really, really excited that, Artemi Panarin and obviously Mikko Zibanejad is one of my favorite players to watch. He's just amazing. But then with Trouba and all these moves, I think, what do you think was the most important from your standpoint as a, as an insider? What's really the talk of the town in terms of the best moves over the summer for the Rangers?
Well, you know what? I mean, collectively, I'm not sure that there was one top move. I mean, it's a good question, but I think you throw Fox into the mix. So what it's really done is hasn't really put the pressure on one of the moves, right?
Right. I definitely noticed that.
You know, if everybody has had their share of the spotlight. Now, when it's come to play, I mean, Mika had a tremendous season a year ago, and he will be the first to admit that he finally got it. You know, the funny story about Mika is when Brian Murray, God bless his soul, was the GM in Ottawa, and Mika certainly at the sixth overall pick had all the tools, right? And at the end of probably his third year pro, I think it was his third year, whatever it was early in his career, but not early. At the end of the season, Brian Murray, so the story goes, called Mika into the office, and they were having a chat. And apparently Brian asked him what Mika had, what issue did he have with the training staff. And Mika, I don't know if you know him at all, but he's a wonderful chap. He's got a lot of eclectic interests. He's soft-spoken, but a competitor. But anyway, and a polite Swede, which is a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? They're all polite. But
right.
Apparently what he said to Brian was, really, I don't have anything against the trainers. And Brian Murray said, well, why in the hell don't you listen to them and work out? And it took time. It took time for Mika to understand that for him to be the player that he was gifted with physically, he just had to take it to the next level. And he did. He came last year was really, that was the turning point for him. So now you're 2 years in, or two games into the second year of a restructured and, you know, a professional Mika Zibanejad, and he's a wonderful player. He really is.
He's a lot of fun to watch, and the team looks very exciting. We're, you know, I think they've got a really good shot at being playoff bound even this year. I know a lot of people would say, well, let's give it time. But those were some big moves with some big names,
right.
And this can come together. You know, it would not be out of the question to envision the Rangers making the playoffs. Although the Metro Division is just tough as it comes this year.
It's pretty competitive, right? I think back to the moves on the offseason, I think what happens too, guys, is when the Rangers went to the Cup Finals in 2014 and lost in Game 7 at home in the Conference Finals to Tampa in 2015, Hank was our best player. Hands mm-hmm. down, he was our best player. And but we were a sum of really... certainly much better than average parts, but we never really had a game breaker up front. And after watching Trouba and Panarin through camp and now, then you get to see guys who can make a difference at their position, really, during the course of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly Panarin, and really Trouba also. This guy has been, he's been really good. So I think when it comes to, so how it's setting up here is you've got, I've thought, you know, what you do is you look at rosters, right? And would you trade your top player for, I don't know, Ryan O'Reilly or whoever the cup winner is, right?
Right.
Most teams, whether it's Petrangelo or... Now, winning validates a lot of things. But in the meantime, from a Ranger standpoint, they are developing. They have a couple of game breakers now up front. There's stuff in the pipeline that's going to be good. There may be a game breaker or two there. So now you become a little more, I still think it's early for them to be thinking about playoffs. I really do. But mm-hmm. they're going to go out and play. And they should be fun to watch.
Well, there's a guy I want to ask you about because he was, you know, of course, everything comes back to the Red Wings. Brendan Smith, you know, because this is a guy that I always liked him on defense. He was, you know, obviously a younger player at the time. Now he comes, you know, obviously, for whatever reason, got into Mike Babcock's doghouse, wasn't playing as much. They traded him to New York. But he's not just playing defense for New York. He's kind of like the utility player. He's playing on the fourth line, put him on defense. That's kind of not a really – I mean, I don't see that happen that often with players. What's your thought on him and how he fits in to the team this year?
Yeah, that's another good story. You go back 2 years ago when Zibanejad, they signed Shattenkirk – they extended both Zibanejad and Smith. And they came to that camp after all getting either extensions or big contract, and they were the three worst-conditioned players showing up. And Brandon Lehrin, give him credit. He came back last season, so he ended up at Hartford that year. He put his nose to the grindstone in the offseason, came back last year, and it's become a really good story. As far as him being a defender, the reality with Brendan, he'll make a brilliant play, and seconds later there'll be a play. You go, where in the world did that come from?
Right, or a penalty. So, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, or a penalty. You know, it's interesting to watch. And in the defensive position, you're pretty vulnerable to those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So you put him up front, you kind of hide him on the wing, and he's got a bit of surliness to him.
Yep.
He's a big body and he skates pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been it's really been a good story. And they bump him back on a penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Ranger blue line, fairly young. And they'll put him back on the penalty kill. He does a great job. He's, he's always first in line in the drills in practice. He's got, in the old days where you weren't quite as exposed for mistakes with the skill sets that are now being played on the blue line, Brandon could probably get away with it. But he's been, I really give him credit. All summer long, it's out there, they're going to buy him out, they're going to waive him and send him to Hartford, and he played his way into a role at training camp, and good for him.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, those kind of stories do, you know, those utility players, you need them. I mean, you got to have somebody who can come out and make something happen, and, you know, I think that's what, it was interesting to watch you know, the Rangers, after they blew up the team a bit and, you know, traded McDonough away and Grabner and everybody, it was interesting to see how it went last year. And now with this summer of success, I would call it, it's sure. been interesting to watch. I think that they've put together some great stuff. They've kept some of the, you know, obviously Zibanejad they've kept around, and then also Kreider, who I think is just a spectacular player. He's been around now through the whole thing, and now with the addition of Capo, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens. I think they look good. Obviously, it is early, but you know, to me, every one of the teams right now looks like they're skating with glue on their skates. But you know, give them 3 weeks, and they're going to come up. They're going to come up to speed, and it's going to be fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, no, listen, I think the Ranger management, you go back to 2017, and they lost to an Ottawa team that they probably should have beat, right? Or was that 16, 17, whatever that was. And that's where the worm turned. I think they looked at the roster and thought, you know what, and, you know, then they traded Stephon to Arizona. And that's where the cookies started to crumble. But in the meantime, you know, there was a pretty dynamic off season, and really, I was sitting watching the draft. I will be the first to admit, I'm not quite sure how the lottery works, but all I recognized is sitting there and a blood curdling scream. My wife, you know, what the hell's going on? I said, we're going to get Hauser or Kako. So all in all,
actually, the scream was me because my Red Wings dropped to 6. That was the scream you heard, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got a pretty good player at 6.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to be good.
And of course.
Yeah, he's going to be good. He can move, and he's got a bit of a bite to his game. But in the meantime, but I also think too, the Rangers, Jeff Gorton has done a really good job. Chris Tree, for a long time, you go 5 years without a first round pick, the cupboard's pretty bare. But they had an interesting group of UFAs when you start with Nash, you have Grabner, and you have Holden, and you have Hayes, and you have guys become valuable parts for teams that are in a playoff hunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you kind of leverage those into first round picks or prospects and stuff. Now the Rangers are all of a sudden dealing from strength. You know, their system is deeper. You know, with the move yesterday with Nemestikov, they freed up a little more cap space. Jeff Gorton's done and Chris Drury. Now you throw JD into the mix. They've done a really good job. In a lot of nations, now you're dealing from strength. Now you're not chasing a story all the time and trying to make a story out of something that's really not a story.
How much more time is Lundqvist going to spend on this team? Can he go another 3 or 4 years, or is he winding down? What do you think?
Well, he's 2 years left on a contract. And this is the first time he's come back, and I think the thing with Hank, at some point, unless he kind of just took a deep breath, his greatest asset was going to his greatest detriment as he got old, and that was his compete.
Mm-hmm.
And his demand for excellence in front of him, his demand and command for excellence from himself. Well, that's all tried and true. At a certain point, unless you're Tamil Solani or maybe Yager, for sure Solani seemed to get better as he got older, and Yager played the same way when he got older. Most of us don't get better when we're older, right?
Right.
And Hank, this was the first time to come back and you talked to him, and he just got a sense that he really understood where he was at. He's okay with it. And, you know, he'll never be – it's funny when you Truba's early quotes was how hard Lundqvist works. I mean, he competes on every single shot, practice, games, doesn't matter. But he seems to now have the ability to kind of compete a little bit, you know, just not so demanding – with the helter-skelter that he sees sometimes in front of him. And I think he will be, there's 2 years left. Physically, there's not an issue. You know, he gave up 4 against Winnipeg, and he probably wanted to have back. But the goaltending situation from a Ranger standpoint is the least if you're looking at issues. There's no problem with the goaltending.
Well, that'll be. I mean, we always say that Lundqvist is the guy that we want to see win a cup. We always talk about the players in the league that haven't won one that need to get one, and he's on our list. You know, for the last couple of years.
Yeah, he really, really has been. He has been the best player for 12 of the 13 of the. I started his first season with the Ranger Network, and and. You know, thank God I went 11 years in playoff. I get paid bonus money in the playoffs, so I should send him. But there was no question, absolutely no question, that Ranger fans will rue the day when he's gone. And about 5 minutes after he's done, his number will be in the rafters at Madison Square Garden, and shortly thereafter, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's an amazing player, and I'm glad to see him, backing up the team this year. It's going to make a big difference for if the team does go as far as I'm hoping that they do. It'll be awesome to have him there.
But does it at all? Do you think if he doesn't win a cup, do you think it tarnishes his legacy at all? Kind of like a Dan Marino ish, where you're like one of the best of all time, but just couldn't get that ring.
No.
Okay.
They had cracks at it because of him.
Right,
right, for sure.
Never have been there without him, let alone the regular season, but in the playoffs too. I mean, he was that important. So that's to say, our best player for a decade could score goals.
Right.
And the last 2 years, he's had a great first half, and the numbers have dropped off in the second half. So it looks like they're going to just kind of ease it through the season. And hoping towards the end, they're still in the hunt, that he's still got something in the tank.
Yeah, I mean, well, you've got with Georgiev, did I say that correctly?
Georgiev.
He's a real goalie. I mean, forget it. I mean, this guy is excellent. So it's not like you're in a bad spot. But it's, obviously when you see Lundqvist back there, I think it means something different to the players on the ice.
Yeah, there's no question. Georgiev has earned. It's like any player in the league, when you go up the ladder, right, you earn the right to get to the next level. And it's no different, when you get there as a player. And as a goaltender, you come in a lot of times as a rookie, and you may do your time in the minors, and you may back up, and then you do. So the only way you'll know if a guy can kick the mail is if he's given a chance. And he's earned every right to get the chance. I worry a little bit about the small goaltenders in today's game. You look at most goalies, there are big guys back there. Mm-hmm. He's 6'1", 80, but he has earned every right to get a crack at number one.
Well, we'll see how they do. We wanted to talk to you a little bit, too, about how you got into this. We know that you were a defenseman for the Rangers, captain of the team, as a matter of fact. And then how was it that you transitioned over to the commentating and the stats and all the things that you do for the Rangers?
What happened was I spent 20 years at Wall Street. And so I worked, I interned before interns were what they are nowadays. For 3 summers, and while I was on the street, if anybody needed somebody to fill in, whether it was on television or radio or whatever, lots of times I'd get a call. And ended up when the NHL was on Fox and the Rangers won the Cup, I was a studio host with James Brown.
No way,
California. Yeah. So the point is, through my Wall Street days, I kind of kept my one foot in the door, if you will. And so what happened as my particular job got compromised by technology and different things, and the margins from earning, were significantly different than when it started. I decided that, an opportunity arose for the Rangers, and started on radio, and I still do radio. That's basically what I do for them, but I do television on the sidelines and pre and post game television. So that's really how it evolved. I just I came to New York as an 18-year-old when I was in 1974, and I walked over to opening night last Thursday night in 2019. I'm wondering, A, how I got here, and B, how in the hell am I still here? And it's been a great run.
So when you were on Wall Street and anybody pissed you off on Wall Street, did you ever feel like just yanking their jersey over their head or getting up and...
Well, it's funny because a lot of what I did, I was on the trading side, right? I covered institutions and pension managers and things like that on the trading side. And a lot of it was a locker room kind of mentality where you compete, different things like that. So I was with the firm that, unfortunately, my business in 2008 when the market collapsed, insurance. And it was a great spot. It was a great, I was there for 10 years and then went to a second firm for another 10. So I've had a great run. I've often been asked, I have three sons and a daughter, and I've been often been asked if I'd want my children to have the life I've had. It's damn right. Thank you.
Sure.
It's been a tremendous run, and I still get a big kick out of doing it. And I enjoy watching the games. Certainly the business end of it has changed demonstrably over time, the personalities are by and large the same. So it's still a game, and you got to strap them on and go play. And all in all, it beats working for a living.
That's great.
Well, that's awesome. Well, listen, we appreciate you coming on to talk to us about the Rangers. Dave Maloney, we'd love to check in with you later on, too, into the season and see how things are going.
Anytime. Anytime. All willing to chit-chat. And listen to one of your podcasts here this afternoon. It sounds good, so keep good work. And
thank you.
Hopefully you can do this again.
All right. Appreciate it. Take care, Dave. Thanks.
Okay. Be well.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.